This call is being recorded.
Welcome to call number one, module one of Pure Body Love Method. So excited to have you all here today. And the goal of this program is to create a set of communication skills in two main domains. One set of skills are those for interpersonal communication and communication between people. The other related set of skills are for those for an intrapersonal communication or communication within a person. Intrapersonal skills are the essential ones for personal development and transformational learning. Without them, there's a very real glass ceiling on the development of interpersonal skills. You ever notice that the more you know yourself, the better you can communicate with others? And so these skills include awareness of our own internal processes, self-awareness, quite different from self-consciousness, and they include the ability to temporarily suspend your internal thought processes through things such as basic meditation techniques and the ability to really stabilize the third position or the witness as it is known in ancient wisdom traditions. Ancient wisdom traditions teach us that we don't respond to reality, but rather our interpretation of it. Quantum physics teaches us that nothing exists until we observe it, and that everything that we observe is affected by the observer. When we can understand how to uncover the structure of how we perceive things, we can change the perception. And therefore we can have freedom. And isn't that what we're all really looking for, right? Some type of freedom, freedom in our lives, freedom and financial freedom, all sorts of things. But freedom is really one of those things, and so really connecting into that. Buddha taught us how to be free from attachments by learning to simply observe our experience without being attached to pleasure or pain, just observing the sensation and realizing that everything passes in time. By practicing this, you start to learn to control your mind instead of letting it control you and thereby your emotions. And so what we're doing in Pure Body Love is we're going to help you to learn how to use this in a way that helps you to become neutral about painful pain experiences. In shamanistic traditions, you find imprints in the energy field, and then you use a variety of techniques to erase this imprint. Often, imprints are linked to an event that happened a long time ago, in which the person might have made some sort of soul contract in order to feel safe. Often, these contracts are unpleasant and negative, but with shamanistic treatments, you can erase the imprint, fill it with light, and renegotiate the old contract into a new positive one instead. And so we're going to dive into that a little bit with the intuitive intelligence so that you can understand that you can also diagnose and change these soul contracts and these imprints so that you can have the life and the businesses that you want and change some of the money consciousness and move those things around. To put it simply, it allows us to guide and transform negativity into positivity and darkness into light. In esoteric Christianity, you search for the Christ within, right? The light within. You go deep within to find yourself, to find the God within, to find love within. And so many of the techniques that we'll be using will take you on a journey deep within your inner essence where you can reach a place of complete love, light, and happiness. And that's really where we're going when we are working into the Pure Body Love Method. We're going to go into the four categories, which are the revived mind, the intuitive intelligence, pure prosperity, and body love. And we're going to spend the next 8 weeks journeying into those areas. So the first paradigm, the very first ones that were the things that we're going to base this work on, there's four of them that I want to discuss and we're going to get into. The first paradigm is everyone is doing their best with what they know how at the time. So what does that really mean? Well, it means that we must never judge someone because how do we know how we would behave, that we would not behave the same way, right, if we lived in their shoes? We're always trying to do the best with the experience, wisdom, and knowledge that we have at the time. And I remember the first time that this paradigm really made sense to me was when I realized and remembered back to when I had had a situation when I was 10 when I had been molested by the guy next door. And it had happened because my father had left us in the care of this guy, this family or whatever. And, you know, there was a lot of issues and things around that in my life, but it really never occurred to me at that time that he was only doing the best that he could, my father, with what he had knew at the time, because he was younger than I was, than I am right now. And when I had that aha moment and realized that, it really changed my perception of the way that things were. How many situations in your life can you look back on and realize maybe our parents are only doing the best they could with what they knew how at the time? It's a very powerful paradigm, and we're going to really work into that when we're working through this stuff in the Pure Body Love Method. The second one is, within every situation, there is meaning, order, love, and healing. So no matter what the situation, no matter how chaotic it may seem, no matter how much of a mess or how unloving it may seem, that within that situation, there is a place where there is meaning and order and love and healing. And when you can use those and find out whatever that meaning is and dive into the love and the order, you'll find the healing that you're looking for. The third paradigm is the universe conspires on your behalf, meaning that, think about it, how many of us in our lives, a lot more good things happen than bad, right? The universe is conspiring to make sure that those things happen. Yeah, we all have bad experiences. We all have bad things that happen. But most of the time, shit's pretty good. I mean, we've got good things happening for us. If it wasn't, we would really notice it. But I would say most of the time, 70, 80% of the time, we have good things. We wake up every day. Good things are happening to us. And so the universe is really conspiring on our behalf. And we'll start to notice that as you start to open your minds and really dive into the intuitive intelligence and the pure prosperity, you'll really see that. And then the last paradigm is the mind and body are linked. Deepak Chopra says, the body is literally eavesdropping on the conversation from the mind. Just think about that. The body eavesdropping on everything that you're thinking and being and doing. The unconscious mind runs the body as well as the emotions and also remembers everything that has ever happened to you. And your body hears everything. You know, everything that you think, everything that you say. So when you are positive, your body will respond in a positive way by feeling energized and happy. And when you're negative, it's going to respond with negative. You're going to feel depressed and overweight and whatever those symptoms show up as, they're going to show up. So we want to really think about those paradigms, and I want you to just, you know, sit with those. I'll share them also. I'll share those with you so that you can really keep those around you and hold those to you for the next 8 weeks and for the rest of your life, because I think it's really powerful. And before we get into the major part of what we're going to do, the exercises for today, what we're going to do is I want to explain the mind and the explanation of the mind and how it works. And to begin, you know, we must understand that there are three minds and how they work in conjunction for this practice. We have the conscious mind, the unconscious mind, and the universal conscious mind, the higher self, the intuitive mind. We have these three different minds. And your mind is amazingly powerful, the most powerful computer, right, that's ever been created. And it's truly capable of miracles. Look at everything that you have in your life and notice how you've created it from your thoughts. So what is the mind then? What is it made up of? The conscious mind is the logical, thinking, rational part of you. That's the part that just, you know, that's the one that doesn't stop, that we're always trying to get to, you know, that's always saying all of those things that we have running through our head. You probably will experience that as the internal voice that you refer to as me. The conscious mind is always the one that's also always questioning why and wants to solve problems logically. However, if you could logically solve all your problems, you would have done it a long time ago. So we could conclude that our problems are not stored, that are not solvable by the conscious mind, and that they are stored somewhere else. So the conscious mind always tries to find the solution, but it never can, because both problems and solutions lie elsewhere in the unconscious mind. So the conscious mind is very important, but it is fairly limited in it and what it can accomplish for you on its own. It's been estimated that the conscious mind actually only uses about 10 to 15% of the brain. The conscious mind can only hold 5 to 9 chunks of information in your awareness at any one time, and the rest is screened out by the unconscious mind. And so the unconscious mind, I mean, how many of you have heard of, I'm sure, listen to, the, you knowing what the unconscious mind is, you hear of self-limiting beliefs and all these things, there's where the unconscious mind lies. And I know some of you have done work on with the unconscious mind, and we're going to dive into that during this program, but we're also going to dive into the third part of the mind, which is the higher consciousness, which is where you're going to really create some powerful connections to really open up into your purpose to become the love leader that you want to be and to really create this profound calling. The unconscious mind uses between 85 and 90% of the brain, and it processes millions of messages of sensory information every second. Just think about that. So it's responsible for all of your emotions and your memories, and it also runs your body. It remembers everything from your moment of your conception. So the unconscious mind starts literally working at the moment of conception. So it remembers things in the womb. It remembers everything. So you could have patterns and things that are happening that go all the way back into that time of your life. Just think about it. You don't have to think to make your heart beat or to make your lungs breathe or to ingest or digest food. Thank goodness. If I had to think about my heart beating, we'd probably be in trouble, right? So just think about all these things that if it's been there and you have this unconscious mind, it looks after these things. It runs your behaviors and your patterns, and it bases them on what it has experienced in the past, your past. It's as if it has been programmed to run these particular behaviors. This is why we tend to repeat the same patterns and behaviors as our parents, because our unconscious mind was programmed with them when we were children. So just like a computer program, every time you run an unconscious behavior, it produces the same result. So think about it. You learned how to ride a bike when you were little, right? Maybe you were 5, maybe you were a teenager. But now that you know how to ride a bike, and if you're out of practice, you may have to think about it for a second, but you get back on and it's just automatic. You do it again. Same with driving a car. At one time, it was not an automatic behavior, but now it's literally an automatic behavior. It's being run by your unconscious mind. And so you've got to think about that. So if you want to change the computer program, if you want to make changes to it, you've got to change the way that your unconscious mind is programmed. And so the unconscious mind has taken over when it comes to things like riding the bike, when it comes to driving a car. That's the second part of the mind. And then there's the third. The collective unconscious mind, the collective higher consciousness. And so I wonder how many of you have ever heard of the 100 monkey syndrome. So this gives you a basic idea of this higher consciousness and this higher self and what we are all connected to, this intuitive intelligence that we are all connected to on a much deeper level. So there were scientists that were observing a Japanese monkey in the wild for more than 30 years. One day, the researchers dropped some sweet potatoes in the sand, and then they gave them to the monkeys. One young monkey realized that if she washed the potato, it tasted nicer. Within a 6-year period of time, all of the young monkeys had learned to wash their potatoes before eating them and had also taught the technique to their parents. Only the older monkeys persisted in eating sandy potatoes, but then suddenly, all of the monkeys started washing their potatoes before eating them. No one knows exactly how this happened, but it is thought that it was after 100 monkeys had learned to wash the potatoes. So shortly after that, other monkeys on nearby islands started washing their potatoes too, even though they had no physical contact with the original group. Now think about that. Monkeys on a separate island that had no form of contact whatsoever with the monkeys on the original island started washing their potatoes. It was as if this new insight had jumped across the ocean, as if somehow the monkeys' minds were linked. And amazingly, it is true. And that's what we're going to dive into really deep in this program, the intuitive intelligence, is connecting into the higher mind. If it seems that these monkeys have this collective mind, this collective consciousness, right? So if this is true for monkeys, then it's not far-fetched to think that it's also true for humans. Could it be that once a critical number of people possess some information or a certain field is strengthened so that the awareness is picked up by almost everyone? Think about it. Think about how every single age, we had the golden age, we've had the industrial age, we had the age and then there was slavery, and then there's all these other things. And no matter if somebody's on the same island or not, all of a sudden these ideas, now we're in this age of consciousness, this next to the Aquarius. And so all of a sudden these things just start to go from one to the other. The collective consciousness of all unconsciousness, this collective higher mind, is beautifully illustrated when you can see that these things happen and that they're going from one to another. So there's a direct connection between these three minds, the unconscious mind and the conscious mind and the higher consciousness, or this higher self and this, you know, this collective consciousness. And so what we want to do is we want to surpass the conscious mind. We want to get into the unconscious mind so that it can speak to the conscious mind. The conscious mind may choose to not listen to the communication from the unconscious mind, which is what really happens. Everything is being passed in this unconscious mind, which is what happens when you have a gut feeling that you should take a certain course of action, but then you talk yourself out of it, right? By applying logic and reason. Only later do you realize that you should have listened to that gut feeling all along, that intuitive intelligence. So what this is what we realize now is that the higher divine self, that intuitive intelligence, that greater conscious mind that we all have, this greater peace, is that there is a direct communication between the unconscious mind and the higher conscious mind, and they communicate freely with each other. Unfortunately, there's no direct communication between the conscious mind and the higher conscious mind, which is why you cannot logically know what the higher conscious mind exists, and also you can't logically know what it's there for and what to do with it. This is why certain techniques that we're going to learn during the intuitive intelligence, like such things as shamath and meditation, are so very important into connecting you into the inner feelings of peace and happiness, that which are already there within you. And in this space, you can also start to listen to the gentle whispers, what I call bumps of the universe. You guys all hear me always talk about the bumps of the universe, which is a very wise aspect of yourself. Your intuition comes from listening to the messages from your higher conscious mind being communicated to your conscious mind via your unconscious mind in the form of gut feelings, hunches, sudden insights. We all have these, but the question is, do we listen to them? Albert Einstein said, "The intuitive mind is a sacred gift, and the rational mind is a faithful servant. We have created a society that honors the servant and has forgotten the gift." So as we go through this, if you have any questions at all or anything that you want to know, you can put the questions over here in the chat box. If you have any questions about those three minds that I just talked about, I wanted to just kind of give you a little bit of understanding of where we're going as we're going into the Pure Body Love Method so that you can understand what we're doing. And so to lead, you must know where you are going to lead people to, right? One of the things that I think is so important, if a man for whatever reason has the opportunity to lead an extraordinary life, he has no right to keep it to himself, Jacques Cousteau. And that's where we are right now, is that I want leading you into this extraordinary life. This is about living the life you were born to have. It's about living life that you chose for yourself on some level or plane beyond this body's comprehension, but in that higher plane, that higher self. Your personal 1 in 7 billion shot at having the most happiest life that you could ever have, of having happiness and contentment. And not just for you, but for the betterment of everyone, for the betterment of mankind. And it's all about experiencing this world and to reach outward and experience this as a oneness. And to this evolution of bringing these things together is the creation of really knowing your soul's purpose and really understanding that. So today in our class, is what we're going to dive into is finding that map. to understand where you're going and to create a path to it, you have to know the map of where you're starting. To reach toward and experience a oneness, we must be guided to change our perception and taking responsibility for our own peace and our own bliss, and to have this type of ownership. So when you decide upon this major definite purpose in life, and then you organize all your activities around it, and that's what we want to do. And so I believe that each of us was born with this life purpose of and being able to identify, acknowledge, and honor this purpose as perhaps the most important action that successful people can take. And that's why we're starting with that. They take the time to understand that they're here, what they're here to do, and then they pursue it with passion and enthusiasm. So what were you here? What were you put on this earth to do? What is your purpose? I have finally discovered what I was put on this earth to do, and I'm determined to really, you know, create and live my true purpose into this life. And I've discovered how to love it and to enjoy it and to share it. And I've learned how purpose can bring an aspect of fun and fulfillment to almost everything that I do. And now I'd really like to help you uncover that same thing for yourself. And because you see, without this purpose of life, it's easily to get sidetracked on your life's journey. You know, I don't know if any of you saw it, but, you know, building the wrong dream. I did that for so long. I was building the wrong dream. I was into fitness and health, and I was competing, and I thought I wanted to be a fitness competitor, but I was building the wrong dream. It wasn't my purpose. It wasn't where I was meant to be, but I was so dead set on doing it that there was no way that I was going to be able to build that, because the universe started knocking on the door and giving me all the health issues and everything that I had to show me that wasn't the right way. And so we get this sidetracked, and it's easy to wander and to drift and, you know, accomplish very little. But with a purpose, everything in life seems to fall into place. To be on purpose actually means you're doing what you love to do, doing what you're good at, and you're accomplishing it, what's important to you. When you're truly and passionately on purpose, the people, resources, and opportunities, you need to naturally gravitate towards you. The world benefits too, because when you act in alignment with your true life purpose, which you may at first glance seem kind of selfish, all of your actions automatically really do serve others. So we're going to work on our personal life purpose statements. Really understand, what is my life purpose, and how do we come about that? And if you see, when I shared, I put into the group the document, the worksheets, and I'm going to share it right here too. So if you can see them, then if you're on the computer, you can also see here. So we're going to work into some of these areas with this getting into a life's purpose. And when you find your life's purpose, it's based on your values of who you are. So, you know, my life purpose is just really to inspire people and to have them find their true purpose and to really find that and to create a community of healers and to create a community of people that can actually build on each other so that we can change the consciousness of this world, so that we can make changes on every level. I truly believe that I was put here on this earth to inspire people into action for themselves so that they can create and have the amazing lives and the dreams that they do and create this community on a much bigger scale. And I want to share with you some of the other life purpose statements of some amazing people. And it's important to note that they have all become self-made millionaires through fulfillment of their life purpose. So listen to some of these. To inspire and empower people to achieve their destiny. To uplift humanity's consciousness through business. To humbly serve the Lord by being a loving, playful, powerful, and passionate example of the absolute joy that is available to us the moment we rejoice in God's gift and sincerely love and serve all of his creation. To leave the world a better place than I found it, for horses and for people too. Those are all beautiful statements. And every single one of those people that created those life purpose statements are all self-made millionaires. So once you know what your life purpose is, you can organize all of your activities around it. Everything you do you do should be an expression of your purpose. If an activity didn't align with your purpose, you don't do it, period. I like one of my dear friends says, if it's not a hell yes, then it's a no. So unless it's a hell yes, and unless it's aligned with your purpose, then don't do it. And I think so many of us get caught up in what we should be doing instead of what is the hell yes and what is in alignment with our purpose. And you've got to discover what the why is behind everything you do. Without purpose as the compass to guide you, your goals and action plans may not ultimately fulfill you. That's kind of what started to happen with me. I was making great money. I had good things going on in my life, but I was not feeling fulfilled. And so not feeling that fulfilled, you may get to the top of the ladder and realize that you're at the wrong roof. You're I get all the way up there, you know, just like I was building the wrong dream. And you realize you get up to the top and that's not what you wanted. So what we're going to start with is really clarifying your core values and your life purpose and defining your map. So once you have your map, you'll know where to go. And getting that clarity is how you revive, is part of the revised mind. Clarifying these core values and this life purpose clears out the clutter. It clears out all that other stuff that's going on and allows you to really have a singular focus. And when you can focus in that way, you have so much more ability to let go of these limiting beliefs and these other things that are going on. This practice establishes your inner compass for steering your life in the chosen direction. It is really important to revisit this a couple of times a year, two or three times each year. This gives you a way of keeping your life on track and really makes decision-making much easier. So the first question on this sheet is, what are my top five life values? And what you want to do is you want to identify the main keywords or phrases that keep coming up for you and write them down. Ideally, allow the top five, but no more than the top 10 that may seem to be the most important for you at this stage of your life. And so remember that that's at this stage of your life. So I want you to just take a few moments and really think about that. What are your top five values? So for myself, you know, one of mine, top five values is community and family. Another one is teaching. So teaching for me comes out in this way, like with how I'm doing this coaching and the speaking. I've always been a teacher my whole life in some aspect or another. I mean, since I can remember, I never knew that that's what it was, but it was a value of mine. But when you think about those things, what types of things come to mind for you? Is it fitness? Is it health? Is it is it connecting with certain people in another way? Is it speaking or teaching? There are so many different ways to really think about what are your values. And I just want you to take a few moments to kind of think about what things come up for you. You know, how are you spending your energy and your time and your money? If you're wondering, well, maybe can't figure out what are some of your top values, look at your environment around you. Look at what you're spending time on. Look at what you value, what you're spending money on. Those are all real good indicators of your values. So just take a few moments to just think about that. And I would love to know if anybody wants to share. And this may take some time. This is not something that you will finish tonight. But if you type over here or if you want to share what a value of your or two of yours is or what you think some of them may be or you have some questions around it, you can ask and we can just discuss that for a minute. Do you want to identify main keywords or phrases? And just allow, just think about and asking yourself, you know, what's important about that? If it's the family, if it's something about your work. I know Denise has done some work around this before, so maybe I can have her. I know she's on the phone. I'm unmuting you. Are you there, Denise?
I am.
Hey. So I know you've already done some work around this. So would you mind sharing a little bit about what you've discovered when you started doing some of the value determination work?
Yeah, so I think, I've always sort of felt this calling and this passion for helping others. And for me, that shows up in training them of some kind, teaching, educating, doing the health coaching. And it really centers around helping them improve themselves in some way. Family, definitely. And not just like, for me, it's really more so kind of the same thing. Like, I want to spend time with my family, but I want to have, good quality interactions with them as well. So, I feel like the family can be such a big statement at the same time as, descriptive. So, and then myself being in good health, feeling good, and just really trusting my own intuition. So for me, health is not just, the physical, but the mental, the emotional, the spiritual, that whole being. And I think the next step to that for me is also relationships and just, I love people. So it's so important for me. I've really discovered this more so that I've worked from home, is that it's so important for me to get out of my house and go meet people and just have those relationships and the interaction. So, and then the last thing I'd say, I think, and I think this for me was skewed at first in a way that I didn't really recognize sort of as a value, but I really do value accomplishing goals that I set for myself and just, going that the next step. So, there's just something about that that is valuable to me.
Yeah, and I love how you make a distinction. I think there is a distinction. Sometimes it gets lumped together, between relationships and family and community. And I think that those can all be separate, separate types of values, because they can all be very different. And I like how you're like that. You said that you're like that. You need to get out. You need to have people, be out there and be a part of it, and also. That family is very important to you. Yeah. Thank you.
Welcome.
So, and I, another over here, Dina says, she had put health, fun, freedom, family and friends, money and success, all wonderful, wonderful values. And, some other ones, love, creativity, curiosity. Bravery, leadership, that's another one for me. That's a very, very high value for me. That is very important. Some spirituality is another one for me. There's bravery, persistence, forgiveness, social intelligence is one that, a lot of people follow, fairness. So there's a lot of different things that when you really start thinking about, these values of what really, and if you are having trouble discerning, think about, what do you appreciate and love in other people? And that's usually what you value. When you find things in other people that you love, or what's the things that piss you off, the pet peeves, the things that really annoy the crap out of you when somebody does them, it's probably because it's something that you value that they're not doing. So think about that. So just take time. This may, I'm not going to finish this in, tonight with that, but I want you to really work on this. Just take some time to really think about and really work through during this week. And once you identify those main keywords or phrases that keep coming up for you and you write them down, I want you to ideally allow the top five, but no more than the top 10, that seem to be the most important for you at this stage of your life. I want you to let them float to the top. And then I want you to ask yourself which is more important than which. So you're going to, put them in a numerical rank. So when you can place them in whichever rank order you are most congruent about, you are done. This will typically take a lot of repeats and cause much reflective thinking. And when you have that done, you'll be ready to move on to the next stage, the clarification of your life purpose. And this is best done by writing. And so once you have that done, you're going to get into this sentence and really start thinking about, the purpose of my life is, and you want to just start the sentence with that. So that's, the purpose of my life is, and it's right there on the sheet for you to look at.
just think about that. The purpose of my life is. And a way to start with thinking about that and breaking that down into an even greater. And this may take time. This isn't something that you have to have done right now. I would love to, for you to really think about it over the 8 weeks that we're going, what we're doing. But, you know, get a solid idea of really what this is. And notice which, when you're thinking about it, if you're in doubt, just make it up. This is only the first draft. And notice which aspects you are happy with and which ones you're not. And then write it out again. The purpose of my life is, and complete it again with whatever modifications seem like an improvement to you. And just keep repeating this process and you will gradually get clear on your life purpose. And if you've never done this before, again, just be patient with yourself. It may take a few as 10 times or as many as 50 repeats before you really feel congruent with what you have written. And one of the ways to do that is to start with a dream list and, you know, dream big. Make a list. Don't worry about practicality for now or what initially looks impossible but could be achieved down the road. With, you know, the right things, just start brainstorming around what you really think and identify what these core values are and how these values will come in alignment into what you're doing in your business. Because if you're not succeeding in your business right now, or if you're using this as a basis for creating something greater in your life and it's not happening, it's probably because it's not in alignment with something of one of your values. Maybe it's in alignment with a few of them, but not all of them. And so what we want to do is really understand so that you can use these to understand how to create that value and to create this purpose. What is, when you're not aligned, and how can you stay aligned? And so this whole idea of this, you know, life planning and creating this compass is great, but it's not enough just to have that. What you want to do is you want to start developing a root map for your life. And so that will be the next part. So as with this first practice, the process is simple, but it's not easy. So, you know, kind of stay curious and unattached to the results. Some will show up as simple by clarifying your intentions, and some will not. And you'll need to reflect on your outcomes and sometimes chunk them down into smaller or different ones. And so what I did here is you have this graph of like these seven areas of your life, right? And you really think about those seven areas. Now, you can pick your own seven areas. If those seven areas don't rhyme with you or don't feel right and you have other areas, but I have found working through this that these areas seem to pretty consistently for most people kind of really, really, you know, hit home in those areas. And so you want to just think about, and again, this is something that you want to revisit a couple of times a year, but looking at these seven areas and what are the big things that you want, you know, to create. And you start out with looking at 1 month, 1 year, 10 years. You must figure out what these areas are for yourself, of course. And the three columns are for the three different time frames. So as you can see, it's kind of like off center. But column one would be, you know, 1 month, 1 year, 10 years. Now you can use any amount of time. That's just a suggestion to do 1 month, 1 year, 10 years. It's a really great way to start. And you want to just think about how this vision statement and what you're doing and how this creates into these three areas of your life. So what is it that you're creating in 1 year, 1 month, 1 year, 10 years? In my experience, you can double the effectiveness of your life planning and really understand this by paying as much attention to issues, limitations, and problems as to intentions, outcomes, and goals. So you have your intentions and your outcomes and your goals, and so you want to really clarify your intentions. So what are your intentions in these different areas? And, for that, and this will also help you kind of look back in, and this is going to play back into the first part, into creating your life purpose. What's your life purpose? And
you want to just take a few hours to do this. This isn't something that is going to happen overnight. This is going to be your homework. And you're going to, I want you to share it in the group. That's what the group is for. So this is going to be your homework. What is your lifestyle, your dreams and hopes and intentions in 1 year, 1 month, 1 year, 10 years? And do not, you know, find a partner or somebody to talk with these things about. You can really make a huge difference if you have somebody to kind of go over the things or sit down with a close friend. And remember that these are intentions only. These are intentions only. Do not try to make yourself, you know, force yourself to do them, because the willpower model is notoriously ineffective. You're also forbidden from beating yourself up when you so-called fail, because there is no such thing as failure. You are, however, allowed to become intensely curious about what results you do, what results do and don't show up. So if you create these and you do all the 1 month and you look at and you get 1 month later, really notice. Did it happen? Did they show up for you? Did they not? Now, let's see. I can set goals all day long. It's the accomplishing part that I have a hard time with. I set them and forget them. Yeah. And so this is where, and that's exactly, so this is where we want to really set intentions. And that's where we come in as a loving accountability, where we're here to help you to set those intentions and then to get them done. Because if you're setting goals and intentions and they're not doing them, then that's because it's easier not to. There's something that's easier on the other side not to. And when we get into next week and we're getting into belief patterns and mind-setting, the self-limiting beliefs, we'll start to work through some of those. I'm going to teach you how to get into an alpha state, teach you some of these visualization techniques through this course that are going to really help you to move past whatever's blocking you from keeping to these goals and intentions. But what I want you to do with this is really stay present and curious to the intentions behind that and what's showing up and not showing up and seeing what kind of results that you're getting and looking at it not from a place of judgment, but from a place of empowerment and curiosity to really see what's going on. So when you're looking at your personal purpose statement and what your life's purpose is, you want it to be written down. You want it to be easily understood by a 12-year-old. You want it to you want to be able to recite it by memory. And you want it to really say who you are and that it creates priorities and plan of action in your life. So, you know, when you're thinking of these things, you know, you want to dream big and focus on the success and use this present tense. And you can create, that's it for that personal statement, just like one sentence that's so powerful that takes all those values in. And then what I have is I have a whole paragraph. And that paragraph I read every day in the morning and at night, every day out loud. And focus on that, and that's my greater vision. That's my 10-year. So that's when I started doing this, that's what I put into my 10-year of what I really wanted over into that longer line of what my real purpose is. And then you distill that down into your purpose statement and really understanding that. So Jeff Foster says, the essential understanding at the heart of all the world's religious and spiritual traditions, we are all absolutely radically one, and we're all totally unique expressions of that one. In our essence, we are all the same ocean consciousness itself, but each of us is totally unique and never to be repeated wave of that ocean, original expression of this unspeakable life force. So each one of you are that uniqueness, and I'm here to bring that uniqueness out for you, show you how to use it so that you can connect into this and really create this profound calling and heal all of these, the confidence and all of the things that are going on in your life. So what I want to do now is, because that was a lot of stuff and a lot of information, I know, and I'd love to open up the lines and kind of hear, now that you've had a few minutes to think about what some of your core values, we heard from Denise what her value was. I would love to hear from some others of you what you think some of yours are. So I'm just going to pick on you, and I'm going to start with Frida. Hi.
Hello. I knew you were going to to call me.
see you manifested that. You knew it, and so it happened.
Okay. Actually, the more we start talking, the more I wrote down, but some of the ones I have are family, my health, God, freedom, travel, teaching, community, love, fun, and integrity.
Oh,
kind of what we were thinking about, that would come off the top of my head, is some of the things that are important to me, my values.
Mm-hmm. And so do you have any idea what the order of that is yet or anything, or do you know which ones are the highest ones for you, or can you kind of feel into that? And I think that
I don't know. I'd have to think about that a little bit. I mean, they're important. Some of them come up, but yeah, the order I'll have to think about. Like I said, I was just coming, you know, writing down the top of my head, you know, the things that I know are important to me and what I spend time on, and those are, you know, what I had. But, you know, putting them in order, yeah, that's going to be kind of tough because they're all important to me, but I'll have to think about that a while.
Yep. So there's a great way. I'm going to teach you guys a great way to figure out when you're trying to do anything. This is a technique I learned to actually ask your to ask your unconscious mind what the rank is for you. So on a scale of 1 to 10, so you would literally you take your conscious mind out of it, and like if you wake up in the morning and you know you're like, oh, should I have oatmeal for breakfast or should I have eggs? You know, oatmeal or eggs. I can't decide. You can ask your unconscious mind for a number. Well, you say on a scale of 1 to 10, what is oatmeal? Mine immediately comes up and says a 2. And then I say, on a scale of 1 to 10, what is eggs? Eggs are a 6. So obviously, eggs are a 6, so that means that they're higher, and I'm gonna eat eggs. And you can use this with anything. With exercise, with that, you can use it with this value determination here. It sounds so silly, but your unconscious mind will throw you a number, and it's coming from straight in from your higher self and from what is the best to serve you. So it's a really great way to make decisions. If you are an indecisive person, it's a really wonderful way to use that, and you can use it for this value determination. So thank you, Frida, for sharing.
Okay, thank you.
Mm-hmm. All right, let's see who else can I pick on. Dun, 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 dun. Oh, I can't get my computer to move. What just happened? Well, oh, there we go. All right. Let's go to Anne.
Okay. So I have a few to start with. So I have catalyst, teacher, abundance, health, authenticity, excellence, family, and I also had integrity.
Mm. Wonderful. Great words. I love catalyst. What a wonderful word. And what does that mean to you?
Being a person who brings about change in another, mm-hmm. helps bring about change.
Fantastic. I love that. Thank you. Thank you for sharing.
Mm-hmm.
And da-da-da. Let's see. We think Tara's finally here. We need to get to hear from her earlier. So, all right. Can you talk, Tara?
Yeah, hi, how are you?
Hi, I'm glad you finally made it on. She's all the way from over in Dubai.
Yeah.
So why don't you just say hi to everybody, because we did the introductions in the beginning. So tell everybody your name and just a little bit about yourself and then what you're noticing for your values.
Okay, hi everyone, I'm Tara, and I actually am from California, but I live in Dubai. I've been out here for about 3 years. And I'm just trying to figure out what my next step is. And I think right now I'm planning on trying to move back home. But my top values are family, friends, traveling, health, love, success, and money.
Awesome. Great. Thank you. All right. I'm going to go to Adrian.
I have, hi everybody, I have love, peace, compassion, connection, adventure, and gratitude.
Love it. Great words. Thank you. I love hearing all these, so now I'm just going to do everybody. I'm like, oh, Jennifer, you're up.
Okay. Freedom, passion, teaching, travel, health, and I don't really know a good word for it, but it's bringing awareness to people of different cultures. So bringing people together. Mm-hmm. I can't quite say it in words, but there's something really important about that in my journey. Kind of
something about cultural divergence or bringing people together, but from different cultures.
Yes. Yeah.
I love it. Love, love, love it. I don't know what that word is either, but I think you should make it up.
I'll figure it out by next time.
Yeah, make up a word and make it your own. That's what I always say.
Uh-huh.
Awesome. Thank you. All right. And then I think our last one the last one we have today is Wendy.
Hi. I have family, health, friends, happiness, and love.
I love it. Awesome. So your guys' homework, everybody, is to, now that you seem to have your values down, is to put them in order. Really figure out what the order is that is very valuable to you. And then post that in the group. And then work into this life purpose statement to really start worrying what the purpose of my life is. Looking at where that's going and what that is for you. If you have any questions on that, please let me know. And use the grid, the life planning, so that you have a compass, so that it really gives you an idea of where you can play into that purpose for your life, so that we can start to see. And again, this is all about the map. You're creating the map right now. You're creating where that's going to go, because that's how you're going to use these things to see where, if your compass is on or if it's off, or if you're in the right direction or not, and creating that world compass in that area. So I'm going to just, I'm unmuting the lines and just opening up for questions or anything else that anybody has for today before we go.
I have a question, Melissa.
Yes.
Could we, besides that homework, could there be anything else that you give us, I don't know, just something, because we won't be able to talk until, I guess, next week. And I really was trying to make the most out of my weeks. They just seem to be flying by, and I don't seem to be accomplishing anything, and I'm really frustrated. And it's just like the time's just passing me by, so I really want to just, I don't know, try to make the most of it.
Yeah, I mean, I think that this part here, I mean, it will take you the whole week, the purpose part, because there's such a deep piece within into really working into each of those areas and really understanding, with the 1 month and the 1 year and the 10 years, looking at, I mean, mine is, I have for each of those areas, I have 5 or 6 things. And I recommend a minimum of 1 to 3 in those areas, and really seeing if that's congruent with those values, is setting that intention, and getting up every morning. I mean, there's a whole practice around morning rituals and things that you're doing, and because it sounds to me like you're kind of do you have a ritual or anything that you do on a daily basis to kind of get you into the flow of what you're doing so that you don't feel like things are going so quickly?
No, I don't. That's why right now I'm in a spot where I'm I feel like I'm in a bubble just floating along. So I'd like to get some kind of ritual, get some kind of organization.
Okay, so absolutely. So what's the first thing that you normally do when you get up in the morning?
I'll feed my kitty cats. And and have some tea or some coffee and just waking up. And lately, I mean, I hate to admit this, but I've been waking up depressed or unhappy, like just joyless. So, you know, I don't know if it's a hormonal thing or not, but I know it's definitely a lot of my thoughts. So like you said, when you talk and you think about your purpose every day and you read that over and over, like that's the kind of things I'm talking about. I want to like start doing stuff like that.
Oh, I mean, I got some great ideas for you then, because I needed to have, so there's a couple things that I do all the time. Before I go to bed at night, and the reason I do this part at night before I go to bed is because the positive psychology of what's happening when you do this before you go to bed carries through the night and you wake up with inspirations in the morning. So before I go to bed at night, I appreciate myself for the things that I did happen, the good things that went well, the things that were going good in my life. So I write down at least three things. So it could be something as simple as, you know, if it's one of those days you got up and brushed your teeth. I always use this example, but for some people, that's good. You know, I got up and brushed my teeth today. I appreciate myself for that. I got up and actually fed my cats. You know how many people don't get up and even feed their animals because they're so depressed? So you get up and feed their cats. Or I made a sale today if you're in business. Or, I met a new person. Anything small that you can appreciate yourself for, you write those things down. And that just sets the tone for the brain to seek out and reach for other happiness or other things to do so that you can feel better in the morning. So then when I wake up, first thing that I do when I wake up is for me. So I will, and everybody has a different, you know, method of how they do that. So whether it's you meditate, you journal, you do different things. I have a gratitude journal, so I write down three things that I'm grateful for every morning, and they have to be different every day. So which really makes you, put you into a positive mood right there. That's actually scientifically proven that gratitude actually changes the chemistry of the brain. So that is a very powerful thing. I meditate, and then I do some journaling. I journal around what I'm excited about happening, what my intentions are for the day, what my goals are, what do I want to accomplish, how many people do I want to connect with, what types of things do I want to make happen. And I write about that, and I journal about that. And then, Adrienne, she says she reads in the morning. And that's another thing. She made a commitment that she's reading 10 pages a day. So she's getting up and reading every morning. And she says, because of me. That's sweet. And so I will read. I'll do some reading. So I have a whole morning process that probably takes me about an hour. I could switch it down to 15 minutes if I have to, at least I'm doing 15 minutes of something, but it's better than, nothing. And then maybe if I don't have time to read in the morning, I read at night, but I always try to get some reading in every day. And right now I'm part of a writing course also. So I'm writing for 5 minutes a day. Now it sounds kind of silly. You're like, oh, 5 minutes, but I was having such a blocker on writing that I just set my alarm and 5 minutes goes so quickly. And it was inspirational. So you can do just little things, and you've got to feel into what feels right for you. So whether it feels right to, and meditation is one of the things that we're going to be talking about later, but I think it's so very important, is even if it's three minutes is all you can do, 3 minutes is better than doing nothing at all. So set your alarm for 3 minutes and do a mindfulness meditation or focus on something and really connect in. I have a process that I call 15-1-1, which is 15 minutes a day of something for yourself, whatever that is, and try to do it in the morning before you get into the busyness of the day. So 15 minutes is a minimum. And then one day a week, you do something greater for an hour. So whether it's yoga or Pilates or walking on the beach or reading a book or whatever that is for you, something that's a little bit greater that really feeds into your values and into your soul. And then one day a month, I have all of my clients do what I call live as if. And so you live as if you're already where you want to be and that you already have the life that you want and that you're doing all the things that you want. So if it's travel, then you would go maybe take a staycation or a daycation somewhere. Or if you want to have a new house and a new car, you would go shopping for the new house and go drive the new car and live into that. Or if you wanted to have wanted to have a spa day once a month, you would go. Maybe do go to the spa or go to the beach, but you live as if you already were doing everything that you wanted to do and create that moment in your life. So maybe it's hanging out with your friends for a whole day or something like that. So all of those things, just tiny little tips and tricks to doing this. And so maybe ways for you to add into the homework around this would be is to write every morning a little bit around this life purpose and around what you want to do, and use that as the inspiration to create some of your intentions for the day.
Mm-hmm. They're great ideas. I was getting overwhelmed thinking, oh, I got to spend 20 minutes meditating.
Nope.
An hour exercising. How am I going to work?
No. That's what I'm saying. You just figure out what's right for you. Mm-hmm. You know, everything is different. I mean, I have my routine, and I love to be able to have that experience. But there was a time when I didn't do that. But that hour for me in the morning sets everything for me. But if you don't have an hour, if you have 15 minutes, then whatever you can do, that little shift will start to shift everything. Over time, you'll get to a space where you can do more for yourself.
Okay, thank you. Great ideas.
Yeah, you're welcome.
No.
All right.
No.
Anybody else? Questions? All right, ladies. Well, I'm going to turn off the recording.